I feel guilty sometimes. I've had my principal get on the intercom and answer questions that I was asking in class, and she's several hall doors down the hall, and it's unconscious. It works. It serves me well in my job, though. But I think people probably get tired of it. If you remember last time I talked, I talked about trials, and we talked about how God puts people through trials, and we talked about, you know, Abraham being put through trials by God, specifically sacrificing his son. We talked about Joseph acknowledging that everything he had been through was God's plan. We talked about how Paul, you know, God said that he was going to show him what he must suffer. So we went on that vein that God intends some trials. Then we went on the vein that some trials are allowed. And the one we're most familiar with that is on Job, God allowing Job to be tested. God allowed Peter to be tested. You know, we have the account of Jesus telling Peter that Satan had asked to sift him as wheat. And obviously Paul suffered at the hands of ungodly men. We know that God can't do any evil, but he can allow it to happen. So I want to look at that. And we talked about last week that the word temptation and trial are the same Greek word. The way we know which one we're talking about here is contextually. So I want to keep on that vein. And this sermon, I started out, okay, how do we deal with trials? And I just couldn't find anything that I really liked that was usable. I wasted a lot of paper printing off stuff and reading it. I just couldn't find anything. So I got to looking around, and I found an old sermon of David's, and it was based on that song, Yield Not to Temptation. And I meant to have that song led this morning, but I saw something shiny and got distracted and didn't have it led. And I looked at that song, and when you look at that song, it's very much seems to deal with things that are temptations from outside, worldly temptations, things that just come at you, and things to avoid. Let me read those lyrics real quickly to you, and it's on 798 if you want to look at it, but I'm just going to read the three stanzas. It says, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you, some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. To him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through." So I got to looking at David's sermon, and I don't know what the word here is. I didn't rewrite it. I took some stuff from it and added some stuff to kind of go more with this idea of a trial. Because, you know, every trial is a temptation, even if that temptation is just having a bad attitude or feeling sorry for yourself. Or grumbling. So that's kind of the angle I'm wanting to look at this from. So if you will, please turn with me in James 1. James 1, and let's read 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4. So we're told not to yield to temptation and to endure. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be made perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So we're going to be tempted. We're going to go through trials. And God's told us that we're going to be tempted, but it's not going to be beyond what we can endure. And he's going to provide us a way of escape. And he tells us that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. We're also not supposed to yield to sin. If you look, read with me in James 1, 12 through 16. As we continue through this, and we see how sin develops. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So we think about yielding at sin coming from outside of us, but sin can come from our heart as well. We know Jesus acknowledged that just lusting after a woman in your heart can be a sin. But other sins can come from our heart. And one of those is worrying. If you look with me in Matthew 6, 25 through 24. I said that backwards. 25 through something. I don't know what I wrote there. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek from their heaven. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day have us enough of its own trouble. So we see Jesus talking here, and you know, it's hard to say that worry, I don't see anywhere in the Bible, I may be wrong, that, you know, worry is a cinch, is very clearly stated as a sin, or I didn't run across it that I'm aware of. If you know where it is, let me know. But I think obviously we can see that it shows other weaknesses that we have if we're fretting and worrying all the time. As we read earlier, in James, he said, you know, the man who perseveres will be blessed. And the line of the song says, each victory, each thing we overcome will strengthen us. And we see that with Joseph. He overcame thing after thing after thing. And he never gave in to the troubles he was having. He never gave up. He stayed focused and he stayed strong. And each time he gets a little stronger. And it's like working out a muscle. It's like working out anything, like working on your memory. Also, Daniel, he endured many, many things. And when you look at Darius putting him into the lion's den, and Darius didn't want to do this, but he had said this, and he's king, and he does this, and the courage that he had, and how much stronger he was after he emerged from this. And you know, in a lot of the paintings, we see he's a young man. But, you know, he was probably in his 80s at that time. And this strengthened him as well. The next line of the song says, fight manfully onward. And to do that, we need some things. If you'll look with me in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Starting in verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, and against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness and in heaven, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Next one, we're told to subdue our dark passions in that song. If you look with me in Galatians 5, 16 through 24. Galatians 5, 16 through 24. We've got a list of these dark things that we need to subdue. We're told, but I say, walk by spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then down below, and we'll reference this later, we see the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we go through this list of sins that are very, very worldly. And while they do spring up from inside us, you know, they're very worldly and they're things that we can see. But do we think about the sin or of resisting the passion, the dark passion, to get discouraged and to get depressed, resisting that, which is a great difficulty. If you look with me in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, we're told not to get discouraged. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. Tells us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So there are other people going through difficulties. And it's easy to get very myopic, you know, that I'm the only person that anything like this has ever happened to you. You'd think you'd get past that after you get out of high school or something like that. But we don't, you know, or I don't anyway. We don't. We still think, okay, nobody really understands. Nobody knows what's going on with me here? We want to shun evil companions. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us that, but we need to go a step further. We need to... I lost my word. We need to... I still can't find my word. We need to do the opposite and look for good companions. If you'll look with me in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. And we see that Timothy here is sent and why he's coming for encouragement. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor should be in vain. If you'll also look with me in Acts 15. Acts 15, 30 through 32. Acts 15, 30 through 32. So when they were sent away, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message. The next line says, bad language disdain. And that's something that I don't think probably a lot of us struggle with. I did it one time in my life when I was a grave digger. I got in the really bad habit of that before I was a Christian. But staying away from bad language. But I wouldn't limit just bad language to just cursing like we think of, or coarse talking. What if we consider bad language just murmuring? Just murmuring about things. We know that 1 Corinthians 10... 1-13 tells us that the children of Israel were punished for their murmuring, and that we are supposed to avoid murmuring. If you'll look with me in Philippians 2:14-16. And this murmuring can just be in our hearts. I mean, we don't have to verbalize it. Philippians 2:14-16. Tells us, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You know, I hate to say, I whined so much when I was in my cast that my son adopted this voice and would imitate me. And he would say things that I'd heard myself saying. And it was this whiny voice, if you remember Doug and Wendy Winder from the 80s. And he would go, my caster, I feel claustrophobic. And he would just go on and on. But it kind of made me aware of how much I was whining and complaining. And that's something we need to watch. That's another bad thing we can do when we're tempted. The next line of that song, or another line of the song, says, God's name and hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. You know, that starts out in Exodus 20. We're told these things. But I'd look at that, I kind of look at this another way. We need to, when we're tempted, we need to hold God's name in reverence in prayer, even more so, and use it in prayer. We're told many, many times to pray. Look in James 5:13-18. I'm going to kind of make 2 points with this one. James 5, 13 through 18. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered up in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven for him. So we kind of see two things here. We see the praying, but we also see calling on your brothers and sisters, the good company, having good company with you, people who will encourage you. Next, if you'll look with me in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as are we, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in a time of need. Next, if we overcome, we'll be rewarded, and through faith we can conquer. Though things are going to happen in your life, I finally come to the point where I've realized things are just going to happen. They're just going to happen. There is no perfect life. There's just life. If you look with me in 1 John 5. 1 John 5, 3 through 5. 1 John 5, 3 through 5. I'm in the wrong place. Sorry about that. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And lastly, Jesus will strengthen us and renew us as we struggle and as we suffer. If you'll look with me in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. And then we'll read one more there. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then drop down to verse 13. And we see, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So some thoughts on resisting temptation during trials. Not all our temptations come from outside. They grow inside us. Even if they come from outside, they grow inside us. But a lot just come from random things that happen to us. And we have to be strong. And we can apply the lessons on temptations to how we deal with trials as well. If you're not a Christian, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins right now. You can start your walk. You can become a Christian. If you are a Christian, you need the prayers of the church, you can please come forward while we sing.